Okay, then.
Ron Wolfley.
What is up? Witchbuster extraordinaire. Love that guy.
Luke Lipinski.
Yay.
Wolf and Luke. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
All right, good morning, one and all. It's 10 o'clock on a Thursday. Tim Ring, Howard Balzer. It is Wolf and Luke. Unfortunately, for those who wait patiently every morning for Wolf and Luke to take the mics, they have been summoned into the principal's office, Howard. They, along with Aaron Maloney, they are indisposed all day. They are in meetings. So we have come in to, I don't know, save the day is the right word, but we've come in to pinch hit for the next 4 hours. So we're happy to do it. Again, Tim Ring, Howard Balzer, Jesse Jim Morrison behind the glass with you until 2 o'clock. H. Fresh off the Cardinals press conference beat each and every day. What is on your mind, my friend?
Oh, there's so much. There's so much at this time of the year as we head into week three in the NFL. We have Diamondback fever going on in town with the way they've played in these last five games. And so it's all on everyone's mind. Right now is what do we have in this Cardinal team? Where are the Diamondbacks headed? How is this going to finish up? As if anyone really has any clue because of the way this has been back and forth with so many of these teams all season. But something tells me, Tim, something tells me that that final weekend of the season, I know this is breaking news here, that final weekend of the season is going to be just off the chain, off the chain. Keeping in mind that on Sunday, October 1st, all the games in baseball basically start at the same time. So you can see what other teams are doing, but you won't know how the games have ended as you are playing yours. So it's going to be wild.
Well, we're going to get into all that. A lot of baseball talk over the next few hours here today. Jody Jackson, Arizona Diamondbacks broadcaster, of course, joins us at 10:30 to chat about the D-backs. Kevin Ray coming up top of the hour at noon. K-Ray, not only the voice of the Suns, but of course he also moonlights as the radio voice of the Dallas Cowboys. So K-Ray with a very short road trip on Sunday as the Cowboys are in town to take on the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll get K-Ray's thoughts on the Cowboys coming up today at noon at 1:15. We'll talk some Sun Devil football. Oh, are they in trouble this weekend? Saturday night, Caleb Williams and the Trojans come a-calling to face a depleted Sun Devil football team. We'll try to get a pulse on what's going on there with Kenny Dillingham, who right now appears to be going through it, by the way, Howard. Kenny appears to be a little stressed out. Chris Cartman's Sun Devil source is coming up today. At 1:15 to talk some ASU football, plus a lot of the NFL news. What's going on in Chicago? My gracious, are you kidding me? Chandler Jones is off the rails in Las Vegas. Don't know if he's going to play again. And, of course, yeah, back to the Cardinals. A big game against the Dallas Cowboys, who right now, through 2 weeks, may be the most dominant team in the National Football League. But, Howard, we do begin with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Fresh off of back-to-back sweeps against the Cubs and the Giants, they have pretty much put the Giants to bed. The Giants are now back to the 500 mark, 76-76. They're three games back of the final wild card behind the Cubs. But not only that, seven of their last, 10 games or 9 games against the Dodgers. So I don't think the San Francisco Giants are long for playoff contention here in 2023. But most importantly, the D-backs. Howard, not only have they potentially put themselves in a position to be the number two wild card team, they're 2.5 back of Philadelphia. Now, the way the D-backs are playing right now, 5 wins in a row. Now, you got to go on the road. You got to go to Yankee Stadium. You got to go play the White Sox in Chicago. And you got a really tough Houston Astros team coming in here for the final 3 games of the season. So you got 9, I don't want to say tough games, but 2 tough places to play and then 3 tough games against the Houston Astros. Catching the Phillies, Howard, I mean, let's dream big.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. The Phillies are taking on the Mets today.
And the thing about it is that you mentioned the Giants playing the Dodgers 7 times in this last, 11 days of the season. The Mets have been kill. I mean, we saw what they did to the Diamondbacks in that series before the Diamondbacks.
They're playing the spoiler role quite efficiently.
Right. Yeah. And they will play the Phillies today in the first of 7 games between those two teams in this last stretch of the season. And the Diamondbacks are 2.5 behind the Phillies. To me, obviously you want to get into the postseason, everybody will be thrilled and happy with that, but to me, that should be the goal. That should be the goal, is to play continue playing excellent baseball, key hitting, good pitching, obviously, all those things. But if you can somehow catch the Phillies, that's key in these wild card playoffs, because that number one wild card team has all the home in the first round of the playoffs, has all home games. And so that is huge. That is huge. I mean, it looks like if they continue to be second and the Phillies are first, whatever, whichever way it is, then they're going to play the Phillies in that first round. But if they can overtake the Phillies, then the games will be here. The games will be here, because that's the way they structure this now, is that the teams with the higher seeds in the first round, it's best of three, and whether it's two games or three, all of them are in the ballpark of the team that is seeded highest.
Yeah, just to be clear now, the Philadelphia Phillies have four against the Mets in Philadelphia, three against the Pirates at home in Philadelphia, then they finish up three against the Mets at Citi Field that final weekend of the series. Catching the Phillies, again, a possible, not probable, certainly pie in the sky, dreaminess free type stuff. But the reality is, though, right now, with a game and a half lead over the reeling Cubs, the Cubs have lost, I believe, 9 of 12 now. The D-backs, when they went into Wrigley and took 3 of 4, have flat out sent the Cubs into a tailspin. I mean, they are heading in the wrong direction. They got walloped last night by the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the D-backs, certainly, if they can finish strong, have put themselves in a position to make the postseason, and that's the most important thing. Jesse, we got some Torrey Lovello interview clips here. Torrey talking about continuing to march forward here for these final nine games of the season.
I talk to these guys about balance all the time. We're onward back east to open up a three-game series in Yankee Stadium, and I want them to get away from the game. They will, and just be ready to go starting on Friday. What happened here doesn't matter. We got to continue marching forward, and we will.
And I think confidence is going to be key. We're going to hear from Torrey in a second about confidence, because Howard, going to Yankee Stadium, you and I were talking before the show. Look, the Yankees are essentially a 500 team. Actually, they are a 500 team. They're 76-76 as it stands right here. So they're a very mediocre baseball team. But the D-backs don't play in Yankee Stadium all that much. They have been ping-ponging back and forth out east. I mean, they were just in Chicago to take on the Cubs. They were just in New York to take on the Mets. They come home. Now they got to go back to New York. Then they got to go back to Chicago. And there's something about playing in Yankee Stadium. There's a lot of aura, a lot of mystique there. The D-backs have to go in with confidence, knowing that you can't get caught up, you know, as they said in the movie, don't get caught up watching the pinstripes, right? So Torrey Lovello talking about the confidence level of his team following the back-to-back sweeps over the Cubs and the Giants.
I would say it's very high, but it's been high. It's even at in times when things weren't going well. You know, I think we have moments of being playing in a lull. The New York series towards the end of the last game, I think we were definitely in a little bit of a lull. But when we came back here, we came out on the baseball field like we never lost a baseball game all year. And that's one of the unbelievable qualities of this team. They're just adjustable, adaptable. They're committed. And I think when you combine a lot of the things that we talk about here, you flush and go. You flush it and move on. And I think they're just innately a bunch of confident baseball players.
That's all so important. There's no doubt about it. And I think what we've seen here with all these teams battling for this is they've all gone through, for the most part, what the Diamondbacks have. And that's lulls, then hot baseball. And like you were saying with the Cubs, where they look to be, and the Brewers were in shouting distance, and now they're not, and they're scuffling just to get in. I mean, you know, the Cubs are a half a game ahead of the Marlins and only a game ahead against the Reds. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I know it was a while ago. It wasn't that long ago. The Reds were playing as good baseball as good a game as anybody in baseball. And then all of a sudden they've come back to earth. So that's the way it's been for a lot of teams. And so what does it come down to, Tim? Hey, we're going to talk about it with the Cardinals a lot during this show. Everything in sports comes down to how you finish. It's how you finish. And that's what this is all about in these next 11 games. And so you could have a bad game in there, but you got to come back the next day. That's the beauty of baseball. But you still have to finish strong for the most part if you're going to achieve the things you want to achieve. And that's what every team is facing right now for the most part in this race between these teams. That's why you use pie in the sky to talk about catching the Phillies. I mean, heck, the Phillies lose today. Who knows? There's two games to make up in nine. Again,
it's
I'm not going to say
possible. No, you're 100% right. It is possible.
And I'm not going to say it's likely, but anything can happen. I mean, the Phillies haven't been playing great baseball in their last 10 either. I think they're 500 in their last 10 games. So that's the essence of all of this. And remember, we're talking about teams that are, I mean, the Diamondbacks have won 9 games more than they've lost. The Cubs 6, the Marlins 5, the Reds 4. You know, these teams have been flirting with 500 a lot during these last couple of months. And, you know, we'll see who has the, you know what, to get it done in this, you know, final week and a half.
All right, D-backs off today. Begin a 3-game set at Yankee Stadium tomorrow. Join Burns and Gambo tomorrow at Sanderson Ford as they will be giving you your last chance to win a road trip to see the Arizona Cardinals in San Francisco. Be among the first 50 fans to arrive and you'll receive an exclusive limited edition State 48 Dawn of a New Era t-shirt. Head to the contest page on ArizonaSports.com for complete details. Well, Howard, tick-tock. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Cardinal fans have been waiting for the return of Kyler Murray. Coincidentally, Kyler goes on TikTok and perhaps provides a hint. We'll talk about that and just how soon we may see K1 back on the field. It's Tim and Howard in for Wolf and Luke, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Vince Murata. Coming up on Football Friday, the Arizona State Sun Devils have their last ever Pac-12 opener. We'll get into that and preview the D-backs' big series in New York against the Yankees. It's Bickley and Murata mornings, 6 a.m. here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
All right, we are back on Wolf and Luke. Tim Ringhauer, balls are pinch hitting today. Wolf, look, Luke Maloney. It's like a teacher's institute day. They're all bettering themselves. They're all behind closed doors, becoming better radio people. I think better citizens today.
It's all about being the best you can be, right, Tim?
So we're happy to do it. Happy to be here till 2 o'clock. I don't know what the heck they're doing. All I know is they got to be in meetings all day today. So we're gonna man the ship today until 2 o'clock. Jesse Morrison again behind the glass. Howard, the Dallas Cowboys are coming to town on Sunday to take on the Arizona Cardinals. The spread. It's double digits. It's 12.5. Cowboys are favored by that. We don't talk about gambling that much here on the show, but just to illustrate how little the boys in Vegas feel the Cardinals have a chance in this game, they are double-digit underdogs to the Dallas Cowboys, who have been probably the most dominant team so far early on here in the National Football League. By the way, if you think that spread is bad, don't look at the Arizona State-USC spread, ooh. Howard.
Oh, my goodness.
What is it up to now?
It's anywhere. Yeah, you can look at a lot of different places. I know FanDuel has it 34.5.
34.
But let's just say it's right around 35 in anywhere you want to look. So if you have any faith in the Sun Devils, hey, can they cover that 35? I don't know.
That's the kind of spread reserved for when USC is playing NAU.
Pretty much.
Not ASU. My gracious. Speaking of ASU, we're going to talk to Chris Cartman coming up today at 1:15. All right, Howard, let's get into the Kyler Murray deal. Kind of broke yesterday. And we are, as a fan base and a media contingent, certainly always starved for Kyler Murray news because the organization, I don't want to say they haven't been transparent because I think in some cases they just don't know.
They don't know.
They
exactly.
don't know. But there's been very little by way of when anybody can expect Kyler Murray back on the field. I mean, here I would have thought, Howard, to be fair. And again, if they don't know, they don't know. I mean, it's his knee, and it's his physical and mental readiness to play the game. And he's on PUP, so he can't come back and start practicing until after week 4. So all that goes into it. But I would have thought, if you would have asked me back in summer or spring, hey, by the time we get into the third week in September, would there at least be a date pinpointed for Kyler Murray's return to the field? I would think the answer to that question would have been yes. And we don't have that yet.
And I think, but in I think there's good reason for that, because teams are very reluctant anymore to give out information like that, because then if all of a sudden it turns out not to be right, well, hold it. You told us he was going to be back by week six.
Is there a setback? What's going on? I get it.
And Jonathan Gannon has been consistent. He doesn't give us hardly anything on injuries to begin with. I mean, every guy, I mean, Carlos Watkins on Monday, we knew he had a biceps injury, and Gannon called it a nick. And then we found out he's having surgery.
And probably out for the year.
Yeah, so he's got a little more than a nick. But since the beginning, he said he will be ready to play. Well, we'll put him on the field when he's ready to play. And you just don't know, because like you said, there's more than just the physical. There's also the mental. And then there's also the aspect, Tim, and I remember we did a show and I was talking about that I thought they shouldn't have put him on PUP during training camp to give him some opportunity to do some things in practice. But it would have then it wouldn't have mattered. Now, I mean, there was a report that Kyler was pushing not to be on PUP at the start of the season, so at least he could do something in practice on the field. Grant, then he would have taken up a spot on the 53. So probably the Cardinals didn't want to do that, because it means getting rid of someone else. But the point being is, I think that it makes sense that you don't know. Now, of course, we have the TikTok. Hey, everyone got crazy when they did the flight plan, right? And he was saying, well, you know,
I might come back for week one.
My goal is to come back for week one. But, you know, you have to take it day to day. And everyone said, oh, week one. Oh, and there was no way it was ever going to be a week one.
I remember getting on the radio when that came out. And, you know, I know a lot of the people ran with that and they thought, Mike, is this a possibility? Kyler says it's a possibility. And I remember thinking to myself, and even saying it here on these airwaves, like, look, I think Kyler Murray says that because, of course, the goal is to play week one. There's a game.
Right. There's a game. And he's motivating himself to keep working.
And I'm the quarterback. Right. So anyway, let's not bury the lead too much here. Here's what Kyler Murray had to say in his caption on a TikTok video that he released on Wednesday. I'll just read the quote. I tore my ACL 8 months ago. This is the only major injury I've had. I've never missed a game like this. Not missed a game like this, missed the game like this. I'm itching to get back. You learn a lot about yourself in these types of moments. To those of you who ride with me, support me, speak up for me, I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. I won't let us down. Period. Soon.
Soon.
Period. So the soon thing obviously gets a lot of people excited. Like, okay, Kyler Murray's coming back, quote, soon. He just said that. The problem is Howard, soon is relative.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so you can't quantify soon. Soon could mean 2 weeks. It could mean 4 weeks. We just don't know. I do find it interesting, though, that Kyler certainly hears the criticism. He knows that there are people out there that believe the Cardinals should move on from him and take Caleb Williams if that's a possibility. He knows there are people that believe that he'll never be a franchise quarterback, that he'll never win a Super Bowl, that he plays too much Call of Duty, that he's too short, that he's not good enough. He hears all that, and it's out there. Believe me, it's out there. We all know it's out there. So Kyler hears that, and he's learning about himself as an injured player. Maybe he's learning a little bit more about what it takes to be a leader. I think Kyler Murray's made efforts in that
yes.
regard in the community, potentially with his teammates. The work ethic behind the scenes, we can only go by what we hear. It's reportedly, according to his teammates and coaches, it's been outstanding. So maybe there's been a lot of growth
yes.
personally and professionally since the injury with Kyler Murray. Now, is that going to make him a better quarterback on Sundays? We're going to hopefully ultimately find out sooner than later, but Kyler Murray seems to be a guy who's had a lot of introspection over the last 8 months and a lot of growth personally, and we'll see if that manifests itself in him becoming a better quarterback on Sundays.
I definitely think, to tie into that, he's been humbled by all this. He also realizes, you know, that whole thing that we talked about a few weeks ago with the crazy report that, oh, he's not going to play at all this season because the Cardinals are afraid he'll get hurt and then the injury guarantees kick in. No, the Cardinals need him on the field either way it goes. So they want to see how he plays in this system, which is a new system, and he hasn't had one practice with that system on the field. They need to see that. And if they would decide in their minds to move on, then to get anything for Kyler Murray, for another team to pick up that contract, they have to see him play and stay healthy. And so I think there has been something of a change. I'll tell you a little quick anecdote that happened a couple weeks ago. We're coming back from open locker room,
okay,
the media, and I happen to be at the front of the line walking down the building as we go back to the media room. And on the side of the field, Kyler and Garrett Williams, the rookie third-round pick, who are both on reserve now, Williams with also a torn ACL that he suffered in college, and they're on the side of the practice field, close to the building, doing some resistance training and, you know, pulling with it and doing all that, right? So as I'm walking, I kind of glance over to watch, and Kyler happens to look up and looks at me, right? And he says something to me. He says, "Who'd you talk to?" And all of a sudden, my first reaction is, man, did I write something? And then someone told him about something I wrote, and he's wondering who I talked to. And so I had a little puzzled look on my face. And so he says, "You're a reporter." And then he goes, "You're a reporter, right?" I said, "Well, yeah." So he goes, "Well, who'd you talk to?" I think he was just asking who I talked to in the locker room. And so I mentioned a couple players. He said, "Oh, okay." And then went back to work.
He was just, wait,
time out. That would have never happened.
Time out. Hold the phone. Kyler Murray was just making conversation
yes,
with you?
Yes. And he's never done that. And so when we got back to the media room, there was all these other, you know, media people were behind me, and they said, "What was that all about?" And I don't know if some of them might not have heard it. They just heard something, and I told them what it was. And I said, it just took me by surprise. And so I don't know if that really means anything in the long run, but he did that. But the point is that, like you said, we don't know when soon is. He can start practicing in 2 weeks after week four. That's the next big question, is that when you're now preparing Joshua Dobbs to play in games, a guy who only has four starts in his career, how do you get Kyler Murray those practice snaps he needs in this offense to get him ready to play in a game? That's going to be their challenge. We know it's going to happen somehow, but again, this is a new offense that he hasn't had one practice in. So, but then again, Josh Dot, well, he didn't know some of the offense from Cleveland, but he had to get up to speed with everything really quickly too. So I don't think Kyler will have a problem with that, but it's still getting out there, you know, and playing. And so, you know, we'll see. But, you know, he mentioned eight months. He's actually 9 months since the injury. It's been a little over 8 months since the surgery. And so in a couple of weeks, is 9 months. That's when Zach Ertz was activated from physically unable to perform. It was 9 months after his surgery, and it took him a couple weeks really to get into the flow of things to be able to get out there and play.
Just a quick reminder, don't report on this off-the-cuff conversation you had with Kyler Murray, or Lincoln Riley is going to suspend you for two weeks. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line.
I didn't encourage it.
620 right now. Start spreading the news. They are leaving today. The D-backs on the road trying to stay hot in the Big Apple. 3 in a row against the New York Yankees. JJ, Jody Jackson joins us live next to talk about it. Coming up, Tim and Howard in for Wolf and Luke, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, everybody, it's Bernsey. The Arizona Cardinals defense, a tough task ahead of them this weekend. Who is priority number one to stop on the Cowboys offense? It's the Burns and Gambo Show from 2 to 6. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
All right, we're back. Wolf and Luke, Tim Ring, our balls are in for Wolf and Luke here on a Thursday. Arizona Diamondbacks baseball takes the day off, and then they are on the road at Yankee Stadium, heading to the Bronx. D-backs now 81-72, 5 wins in a row. They are climbing up the wild card standings right now, trailing the Phillies only by 2.5 games. Outside chance to maybe get that number one spot, but either way, they are putting distance between them and the reeling Cubs. Cubs take on the Pirates later today. The Marlins are off today as well. They are a half game back of the Cubs for the final wild card playoff spot in the National League. Talking D-backs baseball with the outstanding long-time member of the D-backs broadcasting team, Jody Jackson. JJ, what's up?
What's up, Tim and Howard? How are you guys today?
I am
excellent.
Well, Jody, I understand you are not making the trip to the Big Apple. I know you probably wish you could be there because this is exciting times, but I'm guessing you have a high school quarterback to watch play this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I know you're juggling that as well. And Todd and I, you know, as you guys probably have figured out after all these years, we pretty much rotate trips. You know, I was just in New York. Everyone was joking with me. And Brent Strong's like, wait, you got to go back with us. It's like, no, I actually don't. But, yeah, they have to go right back to New York, which, you know, it's fine. It's just a little more, just always a little harder getting in and out of New York, right? And then the UN Assembly is there. I guess the hotel's a little crazy from what I've heard. But Todd and I talked last night, and they got in fine. And they got in a little late, but they'll have their off day today. And, you know, this team, they look like they're ready to rise to any challenge, frankly. So I'm not too worried about them, but they do have to keep the foot on the gas, as they say.
Yeah, you know, Jody, I was looking at this September schedule back even in August and just kind of, you know, it's not that the White Sox and Yankees are great this year. In fact, the White Sox are pretty bad. But I thought the schedule was quirky enough that it would present some logistical challenges. Just having to go to Chicago and New York and then come back and then go back to New York and Chicago for a team that's tired and it's late in the year, that presents an interesting set of challenges. But really, my question to you is, if there's ever a team that's resilient enough to handle it, it's these D-backs. Because I got to tell you, every time you think they're down for the count, you give up 25 runs to the Mets in those last three games. You lose all three. We're sitting here on the radio going, my God, is this it? Are they gonna bow out here? And you come back and win five in a row. And it almost defines the 2023 D-backs. This team just will not quit.
Yeah, no, I mean, the homestand could not have gone any better, as you guys saw. I mean, it was incredible. Winning 6 of 7 against the Cubs was crazy. Honestly, the whole New York thing, it's so bizarre. I was there in 2019 with them, a 4-game sweep by the Mets when the D-backs absolutely could have gotten into the postseason that year as a wild card, and the Mets just ruined those chances. So I kind of went in there, like, without trying to, obviously, I'm not going to go in and blow up that storyline, right? Like, put that negativity in anyone's head. But the guys knew, actually, Merrill mentioned it to me. You know, I wasn't bringing that up, but I don't know why they can't seem to beat the Mets, really either place, but especially not at Citi Field. But they brushed it off, you know, because it was a lot of new guys, too. You're thinking, like, this can't even be the same storyline. It's a lot of new guys. So they didn't get swept, but they only won one there. But they came right back, and you're right, Tim. They just bounced back, and, you know, I mean, the difference is they do have this young talent, and not only do they have the energy of young players at this time of year where, you know, veteran players, they might be more proven and they might have more experience, but the bodies, you know, do wear down a little bit more. So these guys are young, energetic, and the talent, that's the biggest difference now, the talent that's been brought in. Corbin Carroll, no question. I'm sure you'll probably ask me about him in a minute here, but, you know, and then the other guys too, just the complementary talent on the team, the way they've constructed this team, they can back it up, you know, because it's not all about, you know, we talk about energy and grit, but it only goes so far. They have some guys now that can carry them, with the talent to lead the way.
Jody, you mentioned that the team got in last night, and Tim and I were discussing during the break, we were wondering when they would be traveling and all that, and wondering also with going to Yankee Stadium, I dare say there's very few guys on that roster who've ever played in that iconic place. And we wondered, might they get in early enough to go there today and just kind of walk around, maybe have a light workout, do something or whatever, and just get that seeing Yankee Stadium out of the way. Do you know what their schedule is today? And do you think that you know, could be something that can help? Because, man, that can be something with, you know, with players when they've heard about this place, but they've never experienced it.
Yeah, you know, honestly, Howard, especially this time of year, really with baseball, it's a very routine way that these guys go about their business. And I think off days are kind of sacred. They will sleep, they will rest, they will, you know, have dinner. The thing about baseball too that's so different from the other sports is like when you show up, you just show up early. You show up earlier, but you only go there once. You know, we all know covering basketball and hockey and all, you have the morning skate or the shoot around and then you like go home and then you come back. So baseball, you just show up that day and they will probably show up I mean, they're always showing up on the first day early. We all kind of do because you want to get acclimated. I mean, I guess if there's guys that wanted to do that, they certainly could, but it won't be a team activity. But you're right. It is. It's an iconic place. Heck, I've only been to the new Yankee Stadium one time myself, and it's been around now for over a decade. But it's a special place, and I don't think they'll be necessarily in awe of it, but they'll rise to the moment, hopefully. The other thing, I mean, gosh, the Yankees, you guys, this year are just so unremarkable. Gerrit Cole is the reason to watch the Yankees. He's pitching today against the Blue Jays. That's right. The other thing is they have a game today.
They have a game at 7 o'clock, New York time.
Is it at 7? Okay. Yeah. They're playing Toronto. Toronto's rolling. They're fine. I mean, the Yankees, you guys would not believe, yesterday they had four guys in their lineup batting in the 180s and 190s. Stanton is 2-for-39 in his last 11 games. Judge is batting 176 in his last 10. I'm not saying that they can't get hot or hit a couple bombs in the series, but this is just a team that is kind of down and out. So you hope that between that and the fact that the D-backs are supremely motivated, that all of the stadium, you know, hopefully won't be too much of a, if anything, they hopefully will embrace that, being able to be in the limelight in the Bronx, in this moment where their team is rolling and the Yankees are really not.
You know, Jody, you brought up Corbin Carroll. I do want to ask you about him. Let me take a different slant on the question, though, because we all see the production. He's going to win Rookie of the Year in the National League by a landslide. I mean, there is no competition at this point. So we see the production every time he takes the field. You're in a unique position, though, to kind of get to know these guys a little bit personally. As a young player or rookie, you know, what have you seen from Corbin Carroll that we don't see? You know, what can you tell Diamondbacks fans about him from a personality standpoint, maybe that separated him from some of the other young players you've covered over a very long career now? Give me some stuff on Corbin Carroll behind the scenes.
Yeah, and you guys probably see this a little bit in the media. He's kind of measured at times with what he says and how he says it. But what's cool is when you see him with the guys, Alec Thomas, Jake McCarthy, I could go on and on with the young players that have kind of all been the pitchers too. You know, they've been in the system together. They're like little kids. And I feel like you guys don't, on the, you know, people on the outside, or if you're just watching the interviews, you don't necessarily see that. And it's pretty cool. Like the other day, I just asked him, I kind of said, I walked over and actually we talked about baseball stuff. And then I said, oh, how was the off day? You know, you guys had so many in a row, 17 and 17. And I go, did you guys go to dinner or anything fun like that? And he said, no, you know, we usually do, but we were all just resting. He goes, I had a couple recovery appointments. So he is a business. This is business for him, you know, and that's the other thing that I think people do see that. Very professional. So he had his recovery appointments, taking care of his body. He had some other appointments. You know, they rarely have a day off at home, too. So he's just a cool kid. He's a very respectful kid. Getting to know his parents a little bit, I mean, you could see where that comes from, but just a great ambassador for the sport and for the D-backs. Again, Tim, like you said, you see so many things. It's clear the production, the numbers. He's the only only rookie ever to have 25 homers and 50 steals. You know, he is a special, special talent, but he's also a pretty special human being because he just, at that young age, to be pushing every day and know how to do this as a profession, as a job. You know, his coaches never have to worry about that.
Jody Jackson, excellent stuff. We look forward to seeing you again on the field basically next weekend for the season finale.
Yeah,
the last series
and,
against,
you know,
the Astros.
Maybe it'll be a little celebration, guys, you know? A little clinching.
I look forward to you having a lot of liquid dumped all over your head. Gatorade, champagne, yeah. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
And hey, good luck to your son. Both sons or one son? Who's playing?
One.
Everybody's playing.
One football. Yep, the other one.
Well, he's not chasing my son, which is, you know, I think Vandenbosch has a defensive lineman. We play Brophy later, but yeah. Desert Mountain, all the luck to them this week.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I'd be afraid of the Vandenbosch kid chasing Connor Ackerley. Yes, my son.
He's working on that speed.
Yes,
you know?
Yep. My son doesn't have the Big Ten offers like Bastion coming in quite yet, but maybe someday. All right, Jody, thanks. Appreciate it. Arizona Sports, Redbird Farms Chicken and Coca-Cola are teaming up to bring you an exclusive limited edition State 48 Dawn of a New Era t-shirt. Be among the first 50 fans to join us today at Albertsons at Desert Ridge Marketplace between 4 and 6 p.m. to claim your free shirt with proof of purchase of any Redbird Farms or Coca-Cola products. Just head to the contest page on ArizonaSports.com for complete details. All right, we're taking a break. Josh Dobbs, really good 2.5 quarters on Sunday. How can he make it 4 quarters this Sunday? We'll talk all about it. Tim and Howard in for Wolf and Luke, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey all, Dan Bickley here, and join us for another Football Friday as the Cardinals prep for the Cowboys and a road game in Glendale. Bickley and Murata morning starting at 6 on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
All right, we're back on Wolf and Luke. Tim Ring, Howard Balzer up with you until 2 o'clock today. Wolf and Luke in meetings today. They're becoming better versions of themselves as we speak. Everybody, we are glad to be with you, though. Pinch hitting today. Cardinals and Cowboys, as you heard Bick mention there, in Glendale on Sunday. And yes, the expectation is that there will be a lot of Cowboy fans in the building that day. Why would we think that? Because there always are. There always are. A few teams travel as well as the Dallas Cowboys. And plus, forget travel. There's just a lot of Cowboy fans in Arizona. That's always been the case, and we expect there to be thousands and thousands of them out there on Sunday. The Cardinals, since leaving the NFC East, Howard, back 21 years ago, have actually won 7 of the 11 meetings against the Cowboys. They knocked them off on the road in 2020 and 2021, and they won 3 of their last 4 games against the Cowboys in Glendale. But of course, this Sunday, a much different story. As we mentioned earlier, the Cowboys are heavy favorites. They're 12.5 point favorites, and they are for a reason. The Cowboys right now are plus 60 through 2 games, the 5th team in the Super Bowl era to score 70 or more points and allow 10 or fewer points in 2 games to begin the season. The Cowboys, by the way, speaking of dominance, the Cowboys are plus 60 through 2 games, Howard. This kind of blew my mind. For the Cowboys to set the record for point differential margin in through 3 weeks, they would have to beat the Cardinals by 40 on Sunday. Now, unfortunately, that might be possible, but the 1968 Cowboys through 3 games were plus 99.
Yes. Plus 99.
What the hell was going on in 1968, Howard? Did you cover that team? My gracious.
Well, they were also in 1966, they were plus 88. So that was when they started getting good. I mean, they were terrible for their first few years, and then they got good and they got great, and they just dominated opponents. And by the way, that first stat you mentioned about the first 2 games, if they score at least 30 and give up 10 or fewer in this game, they will be the first team ever to have done that in the first 3 games of a season.
Well, we know the players, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs. If they outscore the Cardinals by 30, they will be second best of all time in terms of point differential to begin a season through the first 3 games. The 2019 Patriots and the 1996 Packers were both plus 89. I joked about you covering the 68 Cowboys. I actually covered the 96 Packers every game, home and a road. So I remember that team. That team went on to win the Super Bowl. That was one of the best. That was one of the best NFL football teams of all time. In fact, I remember their first game of the year. They went to Tampa, and I think they won 40-0. And the march through the season was on. But anyway, a tough task, obviously, for the Cardinals coming up on Sunday. So Howard, before we tear into this Josh Dobbs thing, so Dobbs is now, you made a couple of starts. Obviously, the Commanders game not good at all from an offensive production standpoint. 2.5 quarters though on Sunday. Last Sunday against the Giants, I thought Dobbs and the game plan that he was given was flawless. And obviously it all kind of unraveled there in the final few possessions when the Cardinals desperately needed. Listen, cobbling together a scoring drive when it was coming undone would have been great. But boy, if they could have just moved the sticks
right
to eat up some time, which would have not afforded the Giants as much time to continuing to add to their point total, would have been big. But the Cardinals could not do it. But Josh Dobbs, and we'll get, by the way, were the coordinators at all at fault for what happened on Sunday in terms of the collapse? We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But Josh Dobbs, showed me something in week two. Now can he do it for four quarters and somehow, might not happen this week or next week, but at some point before Kyler Murray gets back, can Josh Dobbs lead this team to a win? That's the million-dollar question.
Absolutely. And it gets back to what we were saying earlier about finishing. It's not just about finishing seasons. It's about finishing games. And they haven't been able to do that for the first 2 weeks. And like you said, when it was working in those first 2.5 quarters, you had James Conner running really well and peeling off a 10-yard run and a few of 20-plus. That didn't happen in the last few possessions of the game. In fact, Tim, they had 8 plays for 13 yards in the final quarter of the game last Sunday. And James Conner's last 6 rushing attempts went for a total of 3 yards. So when that happens, all of a sudden it makes it tough to do the other things. You get false starts and you have 3rd and long and you just can't move the chains. They were able to do that throughout the, I mean, heck, they had 241 yards at halftime, and that was with the mix of the run and the pass, and they were being successful. So it's never on just one guy. It's everyone doing what they're supposed to. And on one of those drives, I'm pretty sure it was in the fourth quarter, one of those drives, it looked like they had a pass interference penalty called on the Giants, and they picked up the flag.
Oh, yeah. I know.
So there's a lot of little things, obviously, that happen in games. But, yeah, the progress that he showed and being comfortable getting rid of the ball, running when he had the opportunity, that was a big part of how they build that lead. But again, you have to be able to finish. In the last 2 fourth quarters, Tim, both games, they've had 24 fourth quarter plays for 42 yards. And Josh Dobbs in the fourth quarter, 7 for 11 for 25 yards. So, but it's not just him, it's everyone else doing what they're supposed to be. Well, but I think other teams step up too in the fourth quarter, especially when you're playing pretty good defenses.
Well, it's real easy to say Dobbs has to stay on schedule with this offense, which is totally true. But you can say that about a lot of quarterbacks. I think the next step up for Josh Dobbs is he's got to deliver on 3rd and long. Because right now, I don't know if it's a Drew Petsing thing or a Josh Dobbs thing or a team-wide decision. But Howard, they get behind the sticks like that. They're not even trying. They're throwing underneath and they're basically conceding the drive and kicking it back. Now that's fine if you got a lead and you want to trust your defense. I get it. In fact, that can be smart at times. But at some point in that game, they were tied up at 28. And they ended up with a couple of false starts that put them in 3rd and long. But still, I mean,
they didn't even try for a first down.
You got to try to get a first down. The game is tied. Plus, you're kicking it back to a football team that over the last 3 or 4 possessions, you've proven that you can't stop them.
3 or 4? The Giants had the ball 5 times.
At that point,
when
you punted it back to them,
right?
They had the ball. It was 4 touchdown drives.
Right.
So at that point, it was pretty well determined that you weren't stopping the Giants. And for them to not even try to convert a first down in a tie game in the final 2.5 minutes was telling. You've got to, at some point, trust Josh Dobbs to throw the football down the field. And if he throws a pick, he throws a pick. But I thought he was fantastic for 2.5 quarters. Now you got to do it better for 4 quarters, and you need a little help from a game plan standpoint. Because you can't just keep, right. If you're tied or down in a game, you can't just keep giving up on 3rd and long.
Now, it wasn't a 3rd down play, but there was the one shot to Hollywood Brown in one of those drives to the right part of the end zone, and it was incomplete. That was about the one shot that they really took downfield, but it wasn't on 3rd down.
All right, let's hit a quick break. When we come back, more on the Cardinals and the Cowboys game coming up on Sunday in Glendale. Tim and Howard in for Wolf and Luke, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.